Copper Harbor, Michigan is a mecca for mountain bikers in the Midwest. And today, hundreds of bikers are here to race. They're gathered at the starting line.
4, 3, 2, 1.
This sea of riders takes off. They're decked out in expensive, skin-tight performance gear. And the mountain bikes they're riding, a lot of them cost thousands of dollars. They're tricked out with gears and suspension meant to get them through the toughest terrain, trails that most of us would be afraid of. But there's this one guy that stands out from everybody else. He's kind of a rebel with a punk rock attitude.
What's the word that comes to mind when you think of Kiko?
Legendary. Nothing matters. It's just, he's going to get it done.
He's always got that bike, you know, the iconic Kiko bike.
I just look at him like a 16-year-old in an experienced body. Like, he's just still playing like we used to. It's cool. It's inspiring.
So, who is this legend?
My entire name is Henrique Arnaldo de Melo e Silva, which is a six-part name.
Which is why most people call him Kiko. And then there's his bike.
He's got this wacky BMX bike.
Being able to get out there and push his BMX bike through whatever comes his way.
That he's a lunatic on a BMX bike, and he gets it done on it.
If you don't know what a BMX bike is, it's a smaller bike, almost looks like a kid's bike. You might see people riding it at the skate park, doing tricks, or just around town. Kiko bought his used for $150 about 20 years ago. And he loves this thing. He calls it Glamour Girl.
The simplicity of it is just so beautiful. And it's really easy to get it right because there's less to go wrong.
Unlike the other bikes at this race, Kiko's bike has no suspension. The tires are smaller, and it only has one gear. Which seems crazy, because he's got 31 grueling miles ahead of him, up and down hundreds of feet of rocky elevation. Sometimes bikers don't even finish. But that's what Kiko's after. Finishing, not winning.
When people are like, oh dude, you can't do this race without suspension. Oh, you need a 29 or 27 and a half or whatever it is. You gotta have full suspension. And you know, you get to thinking that, and I'm like, watch this.
This is Points North, a podcast about the land, water, and inhabitants of the Great Lakes. I'm Dan Wanchura. Today on the show, why Kiko Silvale chooses his BMX bike over any other. That's coming up right after this.
Points North is brought to you in part by Cherry Republic, celebrating Northern Michigan's tart cherries with products like jams, barbecue sauces, chocolate-covered cherries, and more. Online at cherryrepublic.com. And Aspire North Realtors, bringing real estate professionals together, supporting their involvement in the community, and advocating for the industry in a sustainable way. Online at aspirenorthrealtors.com.
Kiko Silvale has always been a bit of a rule breaker. He grew up in rural Brazil, where he says bikes were used for a very specific purpose.
That was the transportation, you know, and you'd see families on these bikes, you know, women sitting side saddle on the rear, right? Maybe a kid sitting side saddle on the top tube, and that's how people got around.
But when he was 11 or 12, Kiko saw E.T., the extraterrestrial, for the first time. In the movie, there's an epic bike chase scene.
Where are we going?
To the forest!
Cops chase a group of kids who are all on BMX bikes. Eventually, the kids escape and fly away on their bikes with E.T.
And it's just cool stuff, you know? It's just like, oh, I want to do that, you know? I want a bike like that, you know?
But the problem was, BMX bikes aren't very practical.
My parents were like, there's no way we're going to buy you a BMX bike. Makes no sense.
But Kiko kept bugging them. Eventually, they came up with a compromise. His parents would buy him a BMX bike if they put a basket on the front and a rack on the back.
But the bike rack and the basket didn't last too long on the bike, you know. After it was there for a little while, I got rid of it. So, because it was the weirdest looking BMX bike ever with, you know, with a rack on it and a basket. I think I was just embarrassed more than anything.
Kiko rode mile after country mile on that little blue bike. He and his younger brother would wake up at 5 a.m. to get to school, and they'd bike part of the way there, between 3 and 4 miles.
I'm gonna guess, I don't know, half hour, 40 minutes to ride that, you know, big uphill in the beginning, and then a slight downhill to come into the blacktop.
From there, they'd stash their bikes on the side of the road and either hitchhike or catch a bus another 13 miles or so. Those long bike rides to school in Brazil ended in 1987 when Kiko's dad encouraged him to come to the U.S. So he came to Michigan as a high school exchange student. He was 15. When he graduated, he stayed. Now, Kiko's in his early 50s. He's married, has 2 kids, and works as a research engineer at Michigan Technological University. And then, of course, he races his BMX bike on the side. He doesn't really train for these races, though. And he doesn't wear that skin-tight performance gear, either. Instead, he usually shows up in a work shirt and cut-off jeans.
Am I gonna be faster if I wore all that gear? Hell no. I would feel uncomfortable and probably end up going slower, right?
That jingling you hear? That's Kiko's bling. He's decked out in all these earrings and necklaces.
I used to have normal earrings, but these are circlips and eclips you buy at a hardware store for a few cents each. I don't know, I probably got maybe $1 worth of earrings right here, you know?
It's about 3.5 hours into the cross-country bike race in Copper Harbor. Most of the riders have crossed the finish line at this point. But Kiko's nowhere in sight.
Don't forget to grab your results. We still have quite a few people on the course. It looks like we might have 50, 60, 70 people still out there, including one of our local legends, Kiko, who is riding a BMX bike that he rides in every single race in basically the whole
BMX. Kiko calls himself an agitator. He has opinions on a lot of different things, including the latest and greatest bikes and gear.
The bike industry, you know, the way it works, at least the way I see it, if they don't come up with new stuff, they're not gonna make money. Because it's about, hey, I gotta buy this new thing because it's better. Are a lot of things better? You bet. But they also, there's a lot of turnover to things just being different, where they get to sell more because it's different.
Some of the races Kiko competes in are even more challenging than this one, races where many of the riders don't complete the course. If they give up, they have to text the race organizer, quitter.
He made a comment that he goes, I got these people that buy $10,000 bikes and they're texting me quitter at some point, you know, they're bailing out at some point. They're trying to buy themselves into the race.
Kiko's not trying to diss his fellow riders, but he says that approach isn't necessary.
You just got to decide that you can do it. And I think that to me personally, opens up this whole world, not just around bikes or old cars or whatever, maybe about anything of like, if you think about it, if you plan for it, you can do it. You can get it done.
2 more hours have passed. Now it's about 5 hours into the race. Whoa. And just a handful of bikers are still on the course now. But still, no sign of Kiko. Near the end of the race, there's a wicked trail section called Paul's Plunge. It's a steep downhill that's full of rocks and tree roots. At this point in the race, some riders decide to just walk their bikes down it.
You're almost there.
Almost. Whew. My legs are toast.
And finally, there's Kiko, and not walking. He's still on his bike.
I'm spent.
Yeah, what's going through your mind right now, Kiko?
Oh, I'm exhausted. My ass got handed to me. I'm about to cramp up. My back hurts, but, you know, here we go.
Kiko carefully rolls down Paul's plunge. A few minutes later, he picks up speed and races toward the finish line. One of my co-producers, Darren Schulte, rides the final stretch with him.
Oh, this was hard. Yeah, that's a long ride. Yeah, and I'm not last.
Out of 136 riders, Kiko is 132nd. His final time, 5 hours and 13 minutes.
Oh, it's good when it's done. I just want to stand here, do nothing.
Yeah, what's first on the list? You jumping in the lake or what are you, what's next?
I don't know. I'm just going to sit for a little bit. Because if I jump in the lake right now, I'll probably drown.
Kiko says his BMX bike, Glamour Girl, performed awesome on the trail. He would hate to ride anything else.
I just love that I can do it because I think my expectations are different than other people's expectations.
Expectations that were shaped from growing up in Brazil.
What they did with what they had is nothing compared to the bike ride that I'm doing here. You get it? This is deluxe. This is plush. Now I'm not talking bike ride specific. I'm just talking life, right? This is nothing. This is nothing. I've been places where they're doing just as much with a lot less. So being on a little, on my BMX bike is, it really isn't a whole lot at all.
So like Kiko says, just get out there and do it. That story was produced by me, Dan Wanshura, with help from Aaron Peterson and Darren Schulte. It was edited by Morgan Springer, additional editing by Peter Payette and Ellie Katz. Music by Nick Persev, Holizna CCO, and Blue Dot Sessions. Also heard in this episode were Chris Schmidt, Elizabeth Miller, James Morrow, and Nathan Miller. Special thanks to Ryan Elders for this story idea. Also, for this episode, we're teaming up with our friends at Aaron Peterson Studios to produce a short film on Kiko Silvelay and his BMX bike. Stay tuned to our Instagram page for more information, including when and where you can watch it. Follow us at Points North Podcast. For more stories around the Great Lakes, listen to Points North wherever you get your podcasts. And please, share us with a friend. Points North is a production of Interlochen Public Radio.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.